Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Churros Itacticas podcast. We are recording this on Monday, baby. 2 days after Real Madrid go into the Montjuic, the mighty Montjuic. And beat Barcelona 2-1 against all odds, despite missing Thibaut Courtois, despite missing Eder Militao. They go in and get the job done. Not before getting hurt in the process, getting a bunch of jabs for Barca. And it was difficult, but in the end, the uppercut came from Jude Bellingham to silence the Montjuic and give Real Madrid a precious, precious 3 points.
Montjuic,
don't steal the intro spotlight from me. This is my moment. This is my moment. Diego, I got to hand it to you, though. Real Madrid did not win that Clásico unscathed. Little did we know. While we were winning the non-important 3 points, behind our back, sneaking into the back door was Xavi sneaking in with the moral victory trophy. We didn't know that. And Xavi announced it after the game. And I think we just have to all have a long, hard look at ourselves. Madridistas, Florentino Perez. We signed Jude Bellingham, 13 goals in 13 games. And what? Where are the moral victory trophies? Where are they? What are we doing here? What is our priority? I don't get it. So, Diego, I did want to congratulate you on your moral victory trophy. And, holy shit! Breaking news! Fabrizio Romano! Diego, as we're recording, no joke, I have notifications turned on. I was not expecting this. Check this out. Fabrizio says, I have just received a phone call from Jean Laporta. And after a few minutes of discussion, he has confirmed to me that the renovations in the Camp Nou are to expand the Moral Victory Trophy Room. Worth it, man. It was worth it. It's worth it for all the people, all the Barca fans who did not want to travel to the Montjuic all season. It's too far. It's too hard to get to. We don't want to support the team. Next year we'll do it. It was all worth it, baby. The Moral Victory Trophy Room is expanding. And hold on, Diego. I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Jude Bellingham had one of the greatest classical performances of all time. Of all time. And I just want to say one more thing. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, Jude. Come on, sing it with me, Diego. Na, na, na. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey Jude. What's up, Diego? How you doing, buddy? What's up? What's good?
It seems like you're auditioning for El Chiringuito or something. If you wanted to try to get a spot on El Chiringuito, you're going to have to do better than that.
Hismedi, send the mixtape to El Chiringuito.
Please, Mike, and edit
the dream.
It proper, like, edit it, please, edit it, because that was quite something, my friend. That was quite something. Why are you making stuff up, dude? This could have been gone very, very differently, where we actually talk about a decent Clásico with...
Who says we can't?
Minimum amount of, I say minimum, mind you, of refereeing intervention, even though obviously the non-penalty calls, mind you, I said plural,
even though
will come up surely, but I don't know. This is I didn't expect this from you. Not only a sore loser, but sore winner. It's
we lost.
Not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture. I guess you're doing good by your loyal minions here, and they'll be lapping this up and laughing hysterically.
I actually don't care too much. It was just 3 points, really.
But this was in a game that you deem not important for Madridistas. I can see just how not important this really was for you.
When you put it that way, it's not that important, actually.
Montjuic. I'll get it right. Montjuic.
There's another
Montjuic thing that you were saying is not how it's pronounced.
Another trophy for you, buddy.
And the second question, what moral victory are you talking about?
Here's the quote. Well, now I gotta scroll forever to find it, but
well, while you do scroll, allow me to maybe give you my 2 cents.
I have it if you want me to chime in.
Please, yes,
really quick. Go on. This is the quote. We deserve the victory. In the end, they made us suffer. But I think that with total sincerity, if anyone won that game, it was Barca. End quote.
Yeah, I think I don't think that's far-fetched. We're not talking about moral victories here. It's on the day. I think.
Oh, but it was just you won the game.
No, well, clearly we didn't win, but I think deserved the win. I think we played in large part of the game far better than Real Madrid. Barca with half the team missing in action, played better.
You know
for
what scares me, Diego?
At least an hour than Real Madrid.
I actually love that you believe end, that, because it's good for us that you guys keep saying this
good.
After every loss.
It's good for you
loss.
That you think that you didn't. I don't know.
No, but no, it's can great. It's something? Great for Real Madrid that your mentality sucks that much.
Did I tune into the Keon monologue here? Or sorry, go on, please.
No, it's just it's good for us that your mentality is like that. What my concern is that Gundogan, who actually is a real winner, can come in and might change the culture. That actually concerns me.
Dude. If you would watch that, rewatch that, if you were comfortable as a Madridista with how that game went for the large majority of the time, then I think you guys need to look a little bit harder at your own performances and be a little bit more self-critical. You won the match.
We were actually very critical of ourselves.
You won the
so
match.
You know.
Congratulations. Did you play better for the vast majority of the game, that Barca, the Barca B team, you could say? Absolutely not. I thought Gavi played phenomenal. I think he had Bellingham completely shut down on lock for the vast majority of that game. He was non-existent for the vast majority of the game. I think you could shed a critical light on Gavi precisely for that beautiful Bellingham goal. That was an absolute screamer. But if he was man-marking Bellingham correctly throughout the entirety of that game, that quick lapses, that brief lapse in concentration where it almost feels like he kind of wants to help out in defense, thereby leaving Bellingham exposed for a brief second. And, you know, that triggering a fantastic, you know, blast from way outside of the box, that, you know, all you could do is tip your hat off. Maybe some are critical with Ter Stegen. Me on that occasion tipped my hat off to the Englishman for scoring a fantastic goal that was the equalizer. And, you know, in another day, Fermín López not once but twice hitting the post would have converted into the back of the net being a goal. It didn't. And in the end, literally a freak offensive movement and un rebote, like a deflected pass bounced over the head of the Barca defender to allow Jude Bellingham to put in the final dagger and the 2-1 on the day. You won. Congratulations. We move on. But all this talk of moral victories and trophies is not at play. It's completely different, this scenario, from the Spanish Super Cup, where indeed, effectively, yes, there was more of this sense of like moral victory, seeing where Barca were coming from at the time, seeing that we were coming out of one of the darkest periods of our history. And that's not an exaggeration whatsoever. Putting pieces of the puzzle together, trying to relaunch this new era, this new group of players under a new head coach that had to come on, was brought on under very tumultuous circumstances. It was a completely different day that day, but not Xavi, nor the players, nor any Barca fans were running away talking or claiming some sort of moral victory. If you want to feel that way so that you can like amp yourself up a little bit more as you did in the intro, then by all means, I hope you enjoyed that. But the reality is that that's not the case. And what I will say at the end, I mean, Gundogan's statement I thought was very fitting when he talked about, you know, a lack of maybe enfado, a lack of what's the English word?
What he said was, I think I'd like to see more anger in the locker room. Wasn't that
more
like
anger?
That, right?
Anger, yeah. Aggression was coming out, but anger is the word. Thank you. And you know, that's, if he says that, then it kind of goes in line with what we have been thinking, or yeah, sort of been I can't get my fucking words out right now. The criticism that we have put forward to this team is maybe partially that, like this lack of, I don't want to say hunger, but maybe, yeah, anger in these kind of defeats. It was partially disappointing and disheartening hearing that from Gundogan, who's, just newly arrived. I kind of wanted to think that with the changing of the old guard to this crop of young players, that a lot of that maybe belly fullness, right? This kind of, these players that had already won it all, that had already seen it all, that had been there and done that, and were maybe not taking these defeats on the chin, but sort of kind of maybe just brushing them off as, just another day at the office. I was hoping that that was kind of gone at this point, but maybe that isn't really gone, and it's good for somebody as experienced and respected in the dressing room as Gundogan to kind of bring that to the public. I hope that, you know, words were exchanged internally as well with the coaching staff and with the captains and with these players that maybe, you know, God forbid, chuckling it up. I mean, there's often in the history, we've often seen players go out to party and to restaurants and to clubs after suffering heavy defeats. I've always had a problem with that. I don't think that's, it sits well amongst the fan base. I seem to remember that you were kind of impartial or not, didn't have an issue with that, with players kind of not sulking in defeat. Is that the word? But I, again, to reiterate Gundogan's words here, I think it's good that he brought that out. It's worrisome for the Barca fans that some players didn't take this loss as heavy as the fan base did, because I wanted the 3 points. I think we did deserve the 3 points. I was, you know, I called a draw before the game on Friday's pre-match podcast. I think a draw would have also been a fair result, but in the grand scheme of it, never did I think that Madrid was going to walk away with the 3 points until the very end. And that caught me off guard. It left a very sour taste in my mouth. Definitely not a good day at the office whatsoever.
Okay, real talk, man. Because you know I'm just busting your balls in the intro. I don't actually mean 90% of the shit I say. But let's have a real conversation. So, because on Friday, we agreed that we're going to take the Diego Simeone quote to heart and say whoever deserves to win, whoever won the game deserves to win. Okay. But you're not feeling that way right now.
Okay, let me say, when I say that we deserve the win, it's over the course of the 90 minutes, I think Barca, for the vast majority of those 90 minutes, played better, therefore would have been deserved of the win. Let me make that clear. Do Madrid deserve the 3 points? 100%. You guys scored 2 goals. We scored 1. I'm not taking, you know, there's no saltiness or bitterness with, you know, injustices having taken place besides the non-penalty calls, which I think definitely had an influence and and again, needs to be eradicated. These clear cut cases of penalty calls. Why are we not going to VAR? Why? We have the technology there. It confuses me. Major fuck up on the referee's end. But at the end of the day, Madrid scored 2 goals. You guys, in my opinion at least, got a penalty non-call as well in the Camavinga against Araujo situation. For some, you know, it's Araujo had won that position and that wasn't a penalty. You know, I'm sure your opinion is otherwise. For me, in the moment, it was a clear penalty call for that should have gone Camavinga's way and it didn't. So it's sort of like canceled out, right? That whole, let's say, the ref's influence. Because I think other than that, the referee was pretty much spot on and didn't have the major influence in the game that I thought he would have on the outset. So I was relieved for that. And you guys scored 2 goals. And that's completely legitimate. The 3 points fall to Real Madrid. But, you know, yeah, and that's really it. I think Barca would have been deserved of the 3 points had one of the Fermín López shot gone in, you know, or the draw in the end. I think that would have been a more fair result than Barca not picking up any points on based on the performance that we saw.
Sure. And I agree with that. I think Real Madrid deserved the win. I think a draw would have been fair. And I think if Barca won, that would have been fair too, based on how this game shaked out. Like, you know, Barca was the better team in the first half. Real Madrid were the better team in the second half. And this is what we end up with. But in terms of like self-criticism, like we were very self-critical. At halftime, I thought Real Madrid were terrible, the way they approached that game. And you know, the commentators we had here were saying this was the best Barca performance of the season so far. And you look at that and like, well, it's hard to deny the fact that Barca were fantastic and Real Madrid were, for lack of a better word, complete ass. I mean, they couldn't put a pass together coming out of the back. They were having all kinds of problems dealing with the pressure that Barca gave us. And offensively, we were toothless. Couple transition attacks, which Vinny was alone, and he performed poorly in this game. Decision-making was off. Efficiency was way off. Araujo won that duel. And I got to tell you, I think... of all the games that for him to earn my respect, Gavi really earned my respect in this game. I thought he was amazing. I thought the ground he covered, I thought defensively he was fantastic.
My player to match, yeah. I thought he was brilliant.
At halftime, we did a Twitter audio space, me and Matt and Sid, and we were all saying, like, what Gavi is doing right now, that's what we need any of our players to have. Like, just that fight to give the fact that he gives a shit, and like it seemed like none of our players gave a shit. We wanted that trait in any one of our players. I think Carvajal was probably the only player who kind of had it in the first half, and he had a couple big challenges. One on João Felix. Remember when Vinny loses the ball, and then that's what leads to him and Xavi doing the thing, kind of joking around and whatever the banter. Like that's the play that João Felix, I think, was on he nutmegs Rudiger, and then he's on a break and Carvajal sprints back to stop it. Carvajal was like the only player we felt like could have held his head high in that first half in terms of fight and effort. But having said that, like, I actually do wonder from a Barca standpoint, where is the Barca self-criticism? Because in the second half, they did in the first half, they just regressed into a more defensive shell.
Completely.
And Real Madrid Like, I'm not going to sit and say that it was necessarily better than what Barca did in the first half, but certainly they dominated the majority of the second half in that sense. So, like, I that's why, like, when I kind of saw this as a classic tale of two halves in Diego. That's why if I'm a little bit salty in a win, it was kind of like I just felt like salty that it was like this deserved victory stuff, because I thought the second half, as shitty as they were in the first half, Real Madrid were much better.
I get that, and I think it's natural, normal for you to see that from a Barca perspective. It's what you said as well, what you were alluding to there. It's like Barca were a shell of themselves. They came out without the bite, without the conviction. You talk about the good high press in the first half. Where was that in the second half? Barca were standing back. They were allowing Madrid to build up from the back, having the ball. There was no sense of like that suffocating type press that we were seeing in the first half. And what I was missing as well, besides the intensity in the defense and in the press, was Balde. I mean, where were Balde? We had Joao Cancelo on the right flank, you know, acting as a winger, basically. I mean, you know, Barca were defending with five, you could say. We had three central defenders. And I felt like the impact of the wingbacks was non-existent. I didn't feel Balde or Cancelo really had much of an offensive presence whatsoever, which was quite striking, seeing as, you know, Xavi puts a lot of emphasis on that, whether it's the pure wingers, in this case, Joao Felix and Cancelo on the other side. And obviously you had Araujo trying to mark or doing a good job at marking Vinicius. So you know that he's going to have somewhat of a minimum impact on the offense. But Alejandro Balde, on the other hand, was completely missing in action on the offense in particular as well. And he's precisely that type of figure that is able to beat the man off the dribble, whether it's running into spaces, whether it's, you know, with a self-pass and chasing that ball down, stretching the defense out, taking on defenders one-on-one, opting for a cross or a pass, you know, back out to the top of the key, top of the penalty area. Balde just wasn't there. And I felt like that was a major, major, major hindrance or an absence that hurt Barca very much so. And I hope that Gavi had a word, or Gavi, Xavi had a word with him, because I'm quite puzzled as to why. You know, he's had a very good season, and in these kind of games where you expect those kind of players to rise to the top, for that young talent, for that cream to rise to the top, that this was the place, and he was a non-factor for me.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's another piece I think you're missing. It's like, you know, why did Barca regress in the second half? It also had to do with Real Madrid imposing their will a little bit. And this is why I often say, like, Real Madrid can play this way against anyone. I don't care if it's Barca or Bayern, maybe probably the only team that I think, based on talent, we probably would be hard for us to do this to would be City. But I think, like, based on the names that are on paper and our ability and our talent and our capability, if we play like this, it's hard for Barca to come out of that shell. And that's what I think frustrated me, was that, like, we know exactly what Barca are going to do. They're going to try to play. And we still were surprised somehow to start the game. Like, we were going to be conservative, try to play on the counter. It almost never works against Barca unless, like, you have prime BBC with, like, you know, on the counter. Because right now, like, the way Vinicius and Rodrigo are playing, you know, it's been brutal trying to be successful that way. So I don't know, man. Like, what is this B team thing you're saying? That's, come on. This is not, you guys, look at the names you guys have on the field. These are really good players. What is this B team stuff? Who's the B team guy? Fermin?
Fermín López.
He was awesome.
Iñigo Martínez. With all respects to Gundogan, Frankie de Jong or Pedri, you know, they're making the starting 11 on each and every team, each and every single time. And our two best midfielders not being there is a massive setback for Barca, regardless of how you look at it. Sure, you know, there's talented players on the bench, and Fermín López has been doing wonderful, but I can't really expect, you know, how old is he? 16, 17-year-old, or actually I think he's a little older, maybe 19, to come out and fill the boots of these type of players, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man, but like, what is Kepa then? What is he? Is he B team? Is, like, just the, like, you, because you said like last week, or like, well, you guys signed Kepa, like he's a very adequate replacement. Like, what is Gundogan? He's a treble winner, one of the best midfielders in the world. Like, what kind of any team would kill to have that guy?
Okay, yeah, he is, and I think he's an having that kind of player who I rate very highly, who has been, you know, a huge relief and a massive addition to allow Barca to have a little bit more depth. But let's be real as well. At 30-something years old, the wrong end of 30, he wasn't starting every single game for Manchester City neither. I mean, Pep was rotating him plenty as well. I mean, he's been carrying this team and having, for the most part, good performances, I would say, but not being able to count on your 1-2 punch. On your, I mean, look, your two best midfielders is for me a massive setback, regardless of how you look at it. Then add to that the fact that Koundé, one of your starting central defenders, isn't there. Robert Lewandowski, who comes in the second half with zero match rhythm. The same can be said for, you know, Rafinha, for that matter. It's after being out for how long has it been? A month or something? It wasn't the ideal scenario. The match didn't present the ideal conditions for this to be a completely level playing field. And, you know, it's, you can call it an excuse, in your eyes, I guess, a weak excuse. I would love to replay this match with both of these sides at, you know, full capacity and at 100% fitness. And I think, you know, if we apply that exact same strategy, we would come out victorious. I don't think that we would see this dip in the second half, this dip of intensity, this lack of aggression, and this kind of more conservative approach where we sitting back and allowing Madrid to find themselves having more of the ball and you know, creating more chances on goal as well. I would like to think at least that, you know, that scenario would end up differently. But of course, it's all hypothetics. It's all hypothetical. And hopefully for another day, we will be able to have a rematch again with both these squads and at their full capacity.
Well, look, maybe not. Maybe if Xavi, or maybe if Pedri and Frankie play, two players that I rate extremely highly, it's a, you know, you replay it, you know, 10 times, Barcelona win more of them. Maybe, I don't know. Have we not seen a version of Frankie and Pedri on the field in the Clásico last season?
Yeah.
Right? The 3-1 at the Bernabeu, where Cruz was the best midfielder on the pitch. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I feel like you're doing a couple things. I feel like you're underrating Gundogan heavily. And I mean, you're a goal scorer, by the way. And I feel like you're not really factoring in what is happening at Real Madrid, like, right now. Like, yeah, we're not exactly flying through the season healthy. You know, we have a player who we rated very highly that would have added extremely good depth to us, who hasn't played a single minute this season because of injury. Courtois and Militao are out. Kepa is fine. He is what he is, but he's not Courtois, that's for sure. Our back line is thin. Alaba is just coming back from injury. Rudiger has had to play a massive amount of minutes. And we're also in a situation where, like, we're just taxing our remaining starters with a lot of minutes right now. I also said this to my buddy who said, like, you're so lucky Lewandowski couldn't start this game. Like, what has Lewandowski done to Real Madrid for me to be worried about him? I respect him, but, like, we've marked him out of the game every single Clásico he's played against us. So, like, I kind of would rather face him than have to face Ferran's, like, cutting runs into the box. So, I don't know. That one, it was like...
Come on.
No, I'm serious. Like, what has Lewandowski done against Real Madrid so far?
Well, just his mere presence. I mean,
for sure, but he's not, like, he's not going to be... He's not going to be pressing us as well as Ferran does. He's not going to be running in transition, like, in the second half. He's not going to be that useful on the counterattack the way Barca were playing. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. It's Robert freaking Lewandowski, one of the greatest strikers of this generation. But at this stage of his career, like, you know, I kind of don't mind facing him. Anyways, that's just maybe a side, but. Look, man.
It is what it is. We knew coming into this match that Barca were banged up. I don't keep tally or tabs on your situation. Obviously, I knew about Militao and Kep or Courtois. I think, though, with the 5-6 players that I mentioned, that walking into with the disadvantage was tipped more heavily towards Barca's side. I didn't want to... You know, I'm not making this an excuse. It's just a reality. It's like mentioning the penalty calls. Like people say, now he's going to talk about the refs again. Well, how can we not talk about the referees when they miss such clear fucking penalty calls? I'm sorry. That would have been potentially a 2-0 right at the stroke of halftime. You're walking into the locker room completely different with a 2-goal cushion as opposed to a 1-goal cushion. So how can we not talk about these kind of things? You know, all these people that talk about saltiness or finding excuses. It's, if you can't talk about a game in its totality, then what the fuck are we doing here? What actually are we doing here? If we cannot talk about players that are missing or players that are just coming back after missing a month and a half of action, then what are we doing? Like, we're just talking then. We're just talking. And I'll say, congratulations, Madrid scored 2 goals. The 3 points go to the nation's capital. Well deserved. Cheerio, old chap. And I'll see you again in the second half of the season. Like, I mean, I feel like ignoring it or not addressing or not talking about it is just doing a disservice to again, the game in its totality.
Yeah, I think it's fair to talk about. Don't get me wrong. But I just think, like, you're tipping it in a certain... Hello,
just
Julia.
Getting worried. Just like, why is Papa screaming? It's all good. You want to say hi to Kim?
Hi, Julia. She can't hear me, right?
She's coming. Okay. No, she cannot. She's coming. Joya, she's coming. But look.
She got big.
Kian says you have become a big girl. She had her first presentation today about lions, and she got dressed up as a lion. All right. Listen, let me finish up here. Go. Mama's coming in a minute. She's going to get Lorenzo.
I feel like it's like one of those scenes from a movie where, like, there's like some shit going down in a room, and then like one of the kids like walks in the mafia argument, and everyone's like, "Oh, hello, it's okay, everything's okay."
Papa's not angry.
I don't even know what we were talking about now, but
it's The win, look, the 3 points fall to you guys. I have no... I think I was pretty fair, classy, if you will, if I have to put some flattering adjectives to myself on churros with my compliments towards Madrid. I had no ill feelings. You know, there was no bitterness. I had several loyal churros listeners, you know, write me profusely on Twitter and Instagram, and I was gracious in defeat and sending them my congratulatory messages, giving my likes and stuff. Like, but yeah, I do think that on another day with the teams more healthy, like I'm confident in what we are building here, what Xavi's doing with the team. And, you know, this hasn't derailed my view of where this team is evolving or where we're going towards under Xavi. I think, you know, más de lo mismo, like más y mejor. We need to just improve, get better. And certainly, definitely some things need to be addressed, like the ones that Gundogan addressed publicly, which is for me probably the most worrisome sign that after a defeat like this, you know, I was left with a sour taste. I wasn't smiling or happy for a good while, at least until it was my turn to be a daddy again. But, you know, if in the dressing room guys were kind of chuckling and laughing it off, then that is something that needs to be addressed and worked on by the team, no doubt.
Well, I guess I'd be curious to know what specifics Gundogan had in mind. Because obviously I have no idea which players he's talking about, who he's talking about specifically in the locker room. I guess I'd be curious to know. I mean, maybe we'll never have specifics unless he like writes a book about it, you know, after he retires. But we saw images of Gavi after the game, and he certainly was not laughing or anything like that. In fact, you know, I saw a few Madridistas memeing up Gavi in his tears. And I thought, like, hey, man, if that was one of my players, that's how I would want him to react.
Right.
That means he gives a shit. So I'm, exactly. You know, there's no memeing from me.
Right.
You gotta admit though, I think it lived up to the hype, the Clasico, in terms of giving us talking points, in terms of the drama, in terms of luckily not much controversy.
Yeah.
It was an entertaining game.
It was entertaining. It was entertaining. It's a good opening chapter, first chapter for this season. I'm looking for chapter 2, and who knows if we're lucky, 3 and 4, maybe 5 and 6, who knows? And by that, I don't mean the Spanish Super Cup, by the way, which I think is a given. But
oh, the Champions League?
In the Champions League, maybe. Mm. Who knows?
Not good for the heart.
Huh?
Not good for the heart.
Not good for the heart, but it's time, man. It's been too long. It's been too long. and I'm curious as well. So I didn't really have a time. Normally, I like to be a fly on the wall on the Managing Madrid podcast after these kind of things and sort of get a sense of what the Madridistas, how they feel, obviously euphoric or at least excited and happy with the 3 points. But, you know, how are you guys going through those opening, you say first half? I would say, you know, I think a good hour of this match was dominated by Barça.
Yeah, I would say the last 30 minutes was where we started to play football.
Uh-huh.
And really, what minute did Jude score? I think Jude's goal was the turning point.
The 70th minute? 68.
Yeah, perfect. That's, I think, from that point on.
Yeah.
I mean, like a couple minutes prior, we started to put some spells of possession together in Barca's third. But I felt like the turning point was when Jude scored that goal. To put things into perspective, that was 0.01 in the XG chart. That's about as lowest probability goal scoring chances you can get. And even up until that point, that, like our other scoring chance was Tchouaméni, like shooting from like almost 40 yards, which Ter Stegen saved. Our chances were like that. Up until the point Jude scored, I really felt like we were just, we didn't have, I don't know. If, the thing is, like, the weird thing with me, and I won't speak for all Madridistas, no matter how bad we play, at halftime, I'm just more, like, upset, but not defeated. Because I feel like I've seen Real Madrid play enough that I know that second half, they can come out completely different than the way they did in the first half. So I knew that there was definitely, despite how bad Real Madrid were and how good Barca were, I was like, the fact that it's only 1-0. And mind you, I don't like, even despite Barca's dominance in first half, there wasn't that many clear-cut goal-scoring chances that they had or many shots that they had. So we were getting dominated but limiting the chances at least, and we were only down a goal at halftime. So I was like, it's not really hard to come back from this. But what it took really was a Jude goal, and that's why superstars get paid the way they do, because only players like that can do shit like that. And so when you have a superstar who can kind of transcend what's happening around you, that I felt like really breathed oxygen into our team. Like, oh, okay, we got this guy, he's got some balls, and And I felt like there was a psychological twist in that moment where Barca started to doubt themselves a little bit. And you've seen that with Barca before. And so from that point on, I felt like, okay, we definitely got a chance now to win this game. But I will say, like, I think that the surrounding pieces, apart from Jude's goal, what really helped was the substitutions. Because Camavinga immediately improved us. The way he was just dribbling out of pressure, yeah, is just a different breed to what Mendy was bringing us. Mendy was just basically stationary and trying to limit what João Cancelo was doing. Camavinga was taking players on. He was getting involved in the attack. He was phenomenal. And the Modric sub was great for us too. I think that ultimately is what made the difference. And Joselu, like, you know, I think made an impact too. Very minimal thing. And I think Barca should be more critical too of what happened on the second goal. Their defense was shambles in that sequence. Because Bellingham just runs through our good friend Romeo. Doesn't track Bellingham at all. And Joselu is dragging Araujo to that side because Joselu is the biggest aerial threat. So Araujo's like, well, I got to track this guy. So Bellingham is completely unmarked behind Inigo. And even Modric, who had a shitty touch, he was unmarked. And so I think that in that sequence, Barca broke down too. So I know, like, you kind of labeled it as like, well, you know, Modric, lucky touch, finds Bellingham. But I think it was a little bit more than that. I think Barca really fucked up on that sequence, right?
They fucked up, but the bounce was, I mean, it was a freak.
Sure.
Bounce. That was not, okay.
Did you know Modric became the oldest player to win a Clásico on Saturday?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I think he just surpassed Paco Buio, who was previously the oldest player, by like a few days, 38 years old in a few days. And I saw a stat, I don't know if this was real or if it was just banter, but Lamine Yamal was like the youngest player to lose a Clásico.
Yikes. Well, that's probably true as well. I mean, he's the youngest player to make a debut and score in La Liga. So I guess by default, he would be the youngest player to have lost the Clásico.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, you know, the other, obviously, and more importantly, the major sour taste that is left now is the 4-point gap, which with a team like Madrid that you know is not going to drop many points. Whether or not that's definitive, I mean, it's 3 points lost, not just against Madrid, not just in a Clásico. Not just are you 4 points behind now, but it's also a loss at home. So with the goal difference that you're in a clear disadvantage with now, it's really becoming a uphill task, this Liga, where I don't know. I just, you know, when we gave our predictions, we both said that Madrid was going to walk away or win the league title at the end of the season. I think with this win in the Clásico, obviously we can't talk definitively yet, but Madrid have taken a massive step forward towards securing that. Would you agree?
Yes, but Real Madrid's problem is not just that they have to win Clásico, it's that historically speaking, they're just known for dropping points against the teams they should not be dropping points against. And so this, sure, it's a step, but how many times have we seen, you know, following up a big win like this? What's the next game? We play Rayo at home. Not putting it past us to drop points there when we shouldn't be. Also, I joked that we won that game, but we also didn't win that game unscathed because it wasn't just the moral victory that we lost. It was also the fact that Tchouaméni got injured in that game.
2 months, and right?
So that's a big blow for us as well. So you just hope that Camavinga can hold down the sixth role.
There she is. There's Mama.
Sorry, my daughter was actually getting scared.
Really?
It's got, we have the time change now. And, okay. Well, she's coming soon. Look, I put this on now. And yesterday, it's Halloween.
Well, now I feel really bad. I'm self-critical of my performance. Should I have been more loving in my tone?
She couldn't hear you. It's fine.
It was just your facial expressions and your tone?
Because maybe it was that. No, well, I mean, she could hear me, obviously, get a little animated here, but it's cool. I put on some softer cartoons because yesterday it's Halloween here and more it's being celebrated over here as well.
Yeah.
The American tradition. And yesterday we went to this, you probably don't know Pueblo Español. It's a must visit. But that whole they've recreated an old village, a classic old village, and it was all decked out to be kind of spooky and scary. And there was people walking around with different makeup jobbies and disfraces and costumes and things that were kind of scary. So she was already freaked out then, and I think now she's a little scared because it's dark and Mama left to go pick up Lorenzo, and I'm here screaming at a webcam at my Madridista counterpart. Are you okay?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not okay, by the way. You should ask. I'm not okay. Now I feel really bad for traumatizing your children.
It's all right. Tchouaméni out for 2 months. That's a big one. I saw that Madrid. I was super happy to see this because apparently the Madridista wolves were out on the prowl for Gavi on that one. But he actually himself denied that Gavi had any involvement with his injury.
It was actually... I gotta check who put out a video, because he quote tweets a video that was posted.
Yeah.
So the video was posted by DAZN España, and he said this was the action that led to Tchouaméni's injury. And the video was geo-blocked, so I can't see it because I'm not in Spain right now. But I imagine it was a tackle from Gavi or something.
Yeah, it's a collision, really. It's not so much of a tackle as it is a collision. And, just two players disputing the ball. And honestly, it didn't, because I saw the video, it didn't even look that, hard. It really looks like it is a matter of a freak accident in that moment. But that's a big miss, because I felt he was very, very good for you guys.
Well, so he says it's not Gavi's fault, and my injury was at the end of the first half, I think he says, which is a surprising thing to hear, because you look at Tchouaméni and he finished the entire game, didn't get subbed, and he's saying that his injury was from the first half, and you're like, wow, so he played that whole game hurt. And I don't know, I guess it was one of those things that you don't realize until later that it was you were playing on something that must have been worse than you initially thought. Maybe you thought it was just a knock and you kind of played through, but it was worse after the fact. I don't know if you know this, but Ballon d'Or ceremony is happening right now.
Is it now?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think they're releasing the order now, like working backwards. So I think they're at number. Again, I pride myself of never knowing when these things take place. I don't watch them, but they just announced Yassine Bonu as number 13th in the Ballon d'Or. Gundogan was 14th. I feel like he could be a little bit higher. Anyways. Benzema 16th, the reigning defending champ. So where are you on this? Messi's going to win, I think we all know.
I mean, it's been confirmed, right?
I don't think it's confirmed. All but confirmed. Yeah, everyone leaked it or whatever.
Yeah.
Does he deserve it?
So this is for what? This is for the World Cup, right?
What else would it be? Yeah.
What else would it be? Out of all the ones that he has won, this one for me is probably the biggest head scratcher, because we're seeing that all of a sudden a World Cup is weighed far more heavily than any other of the domestic and international competitions, you know, with City winning a three-peat.
Yeah.
Where were the World Cup champions in other editions? Yeah, this one is a head scratcher, I would say. And that's not taken away from Messi as, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time, and his ability to dribble the ball, score the ball, assist the ball, his vision, yada, yada, yada. But
as Diego Simeone says, whoever wins the Ballon d'Or deserves to win the Ballon d'Or. I got no complaints.
Did you say that now? Huh?
It's interesting to think how thin these margins are and how we measure these things. So I'll give you a hypothetical. If Kolo Muani scores at the last second before the penalty shootout in the World Cup,
right?
Who wins the Ballon d'Or?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mbappe?
Is it Mbappe? Yeah.
Food for thought.
Indeed.
Because the World Cup should weigh heavily. It's the freaking World Cup. So I'm not saying like don't count it, but like maybe we should change the name of the award to like the International Trophy Award. Basically, the club season is irrelevant as long as you win the World Cup. Like I think this year in particular it's the story that it paints. It's Messi. He finally got the World Cup. He's at the end of his career. Like we got to give it to him. I think this is it's the story that it paints.
It feels a little forced, not to say maybe a little bit very forced, but I mean, yeah.
Dude, do you want?
I think I kind of gotta go.
I know.
I'm crying here.
No, okay, no. You go. I think we got the main talking points out of the way. Next Clásico, I promise I'll be more civilized. I apologize.
Yeah, boy.
All right, man.
By the way, can I give you just one little? I imagine you know this, but I think I seem to remember that you saying that Kepa was the reserve goalkeeper also for Chelsea. He started and played every single game in the Premier League and the Champions League last season. He was Chelsea's main goalkeeper. I think you got to give Kepa more credit than what you give him.
Okay, I got a couple things on this. So what I said was, or at least what I implied was that. Right now, he wasn't the clear first choice if he had stayed at Chelsea. And the other thing is, like, Gundogan, like, this guy was one of the best players in the world last season. And so I felt like you just had kind of double standards with that, that's all.
But look at his stats. I mean, let me look at his stats. Hold on.
He was a good goalkeeper. Like, yeah, I'm not disputing that. But he's just not Thibaut Courtois, and Gundogan, even if Frankie and Pedri are there, should probably start, arguably. So that's all.
Well, you're right about Gundogan as well.
Okay, cool. I think we wrap it up here. Are we back Thursday or Friday this week?
Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good. So...
No. Thursday is the 8th.
I don't know, bro. Now you're asking me about dates.
Well, I'll see. I'll let you know. No. Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday is the second.
Second.
Like that. Way off. And the funny thing is I didn't even know it wasn't even going to be the 8th. Like, I have no idea what date is. So, all right. Patreon.com/churros y tacticas. We'll see you guys there. And also follow us on social media at churros tacticas without the Y. Diego, congrats, buddy.
Congrats you, please, buddy.
Send my love to Joya and apologize.
3 points, 4 points clear. Congrats to all you Madridistas.
Congrats on the trophy, buddy. All right. Take it easy.
Speak Thursday. Ciao.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.